Welcome to Security Guy Radio, Black Hat 2016.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
What's your name, sir?
Darren Anderson.
And what's your company?
Cyber United. I also work with a nonprofit that we've started around education for cybersecurity for Internet of Things called CyberTech.
Oh, good. Now, what do you do for the first company?
Cyber United does independent consulting, usually for medium-sized and larger companies, helping them secure their Internet of Things devices.
I like to hear the medium-sized company thing, because we hear about the giants. And more people we heard this week that are in the medium size, because that's where I think the vulnerabilities really are.
You know,
big companies kind of take care of themselves.
Well, it's true. I mean, it's a bit of a chicken and the egg.
Yeah.
The larger companies are probably attacked more, but they have more resources to defend.
Right.
Smaller and mid-sized companies do get attacked quite a bit, but they don't really have the defensive capabilities.
My teeny little website got hacked before we got here.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
Hopefully they didn't take anything too valuable.
Well, if they take my shows and listen to them, that'd be great.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my currency, right?
Take my wife. I know. Or my favorite, take my advice. I'm not using it.
Yeah, right. There you go.
So sorry, at the Internet of Things, we talked a little bit before the show about it. How do you see this all laying out? Everybody's got a different opinion about it. I'm very interested to know how you see it. In the big picture?
Well, the big picture is that the Internet of Things is already amongst us, right? It's here, right? So people talk about the coming Internet of Things. The Internet of Things is all the technologies that are connecting up everything else to the Internet. So we talk about originally our smartphones, which is sort of in a way like the first Internet of Things device. Then that would be kind of on the consumer side, on the what we call the industrial Internet, where there's a lot of activity as well. That's like SCADA and all the stuff that
industrial
runs the power grid.
Industrial controls.
Yeah, so that's sort of like the two divisions, right? So then if you look at those two things together, there are vulnerabilities across both. The bad guys want to get both. On the one hand, we have the productivity of connecting up everything, you know, my iWatch, my appliances. And as always, you know, technology giving us more productivity and sort of more flexibility. But, you know, on the other side, you got to guard your freedom and your privacy.
What do you think are the biggest threats to the consumer end?
I would say people sort of trolling for identity and personal credentials and sort of batching those up to sell them. So on a spectrum, you've got a username and password on one end, like that's the low-hanging fruit. But, you know, information like your medical information, which could have an impact on your job or something like that, you know, with an insurance company, you know, that's more sensitive.
So in terms of the consumer end, what do you think, what are some tips maybe that we can, you know, share with them on how to maybe be a little more smarter, like their smart devices?
Well, you know, with cyber, you got to be smart and lucky. And the smart part of that is just what I call basic cyber hygiene.
I love that word. Right? I use it all the time.
You know, the idea of just doing basic things to protect yourself. I call it don't walk down a dark street in Paris, right? You wouldn't do that if you're being smart. And when it comes to guarding your cybersecurity identity, your digital identity, we all have one now, it's just being smart about that. So
here's the thing about that. I talk about this in almost every show. I'm 55, but I had a computer when I was 20-something. It was two floppy drives. Hard drives weren't even invented yet, right?
I had one of those.
I get all that stuff, right? But most of my peer group doesn't. They miss that technology gap. They're the decision makers now for making decisions on things.
Yeah.
So my dad doesn't get it. He knows about it intellectually, but in practice, right?
Yeah.
But here's the new thing I'm seeing. Tell me if I'm wrong. My kids, they don't give a crap. They don't care about the security of things and the Internet of Things. Different generation I thought would embrace this. No, they're like, whatever. I don't care. Leave my phone here. Leave my phone. I'll buy a new one. And they're the smart ones that should know about it, right?
Yeah.
The people that invented it, the people that are older than me who invented this stuff, they get it.
Yeah.
What's going on there? It's weird to me.
I think that
this is just this is their color TV.
Yeah,
to
I
us.
Think that generation grew up where these things are ubiquitous, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, for us, it was a telephone and maybe the fax machine. For them, it's their iPhone and Facebook, like their way of interacting.
My 3-year-old knows how to use an iPad better than I do. You know,
exactly.
3 years old.
But to our kids, what do you think was their aha? So to me, we got a color TV one day, and that was like the biggest deal in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And answer machines, oh my God, high technology, right? And when phones came out, I was like, my mind was blown that cell phones came out. I don't see that our kids have any ahas like that. Everything
you know,
is just like automatic.
Pokemon games,
well,
it's their
normal.
Yeah,
it's
like
their normal.
At the point that you actually walk off the cliff with your Pokemon Go, like you know that you've sort of violated the basic rules of sensibility. I don't know. I think that it is a different generation. They're oriented in a different way. You have to look, too, when you think about security and privacy, at their productivity side. Like, there is a positive sense of all the good things that come from connecting up everything to the Internet of Things. And if you really looked at that, and because we're security people, we're cynical about that.
Yeah.
But the reality is that, you know, the automated car might save 100,000 lives next year because it's braking automatically.
That's true.
Collision control. And I don't know, like, what's more important, that we make sure the car doesn't run off the road, or, you know, that the security credentials have been updated, you know. So,
or it's sharing data.
Yes,
up in
or
the
sharing
cloud.
Data with marketers, right?
Yeah. Right.
It's all part of it.
Yeah. It drives you to the pizza parlor automatically before you ask for it.
Exactly.
So
it knows you want pizza.
That's right.
It takes you to get pizza.
So tell us about CyberTech.
So CyberTech was founded 4 years ago. We do a number of things, including incubating Internet of Things companies. We are, I think, the second incubator of Internet of Things companies in the country, at least in the U.S. Europe's a little bit ahead of us. China's a little bit ahead of us, as it turns out.
No.
But, you know, we're helping companies grow their Internet of Things concepts.
Wow.
And then one of the things we do to promote that and the idea that the Internet of Things is already here is we do thought leadership events at places like Black Hat, at RSA Conference, which is
a
large security show. So it's an attempt for us to create awareness amongst people in the security community, and also create a bridge between security community folks and people that are making devices, because medical device makers, you know, some consumer products makers, they're not thinking classically in terms of.
Now, why is that? Security. I don't get it.
Well, because they never needed it before. Because many of their products, let's say a medical device, wasn't connected to the internet.
Nope.
At the point that your infusion pump needs to get connected to the internet so I can update the firmware.
Yeah.
Have a new connectivity issue. Otherwise, it was a manual thing.
Well, but, my memory might be slipping, but haven't things like that been online for 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years.
Maybe.
And we've been hacking vehicles, medical products for 10 years now.
Yeah, so they should have got it. I'm just...
I think it's the media exposure now. I mean, look at, you know, cybersecurity is now in our political fabric.
Yes,
that wasn't
right.
there
right.
the last election.
Right.
So I think things are changing, more media hype,
okay,
more
but
attention.
A manufacturer has a scientist working there who develops all the technology. It's just in some guy with a hammer and a chisel and an anvil that's making something. This is high-tech.
Yeah.
And they have to think in those terms, which I don't. I know there's a value with because of cost.
They usually think in terms of developing the product out in some
that's
way.
That's it.
And as one of my
getting
young entrepreneurs said, I'd rather have a completed product that's 100% done and not secure than a product that's 80% done and secure.
And not at market.
Yes. And the thing is we do teach. Now, I'm not talking about the reference that you make is to a company that's been building stuff for 80 years.
Right, right.
That engineer actually sees cyber in many cases as an impediment to him having a device.
I get that. I get it.
Because, you know, it halts the machine from working, or it could halt the machine. Think about, like, oil processing. You know, if the cyber thing stopped the oil from flowing through the lines.
Right.
Because
like
it blocks something
exactly.
it shouldn't have. Yeah.
So it's always about that. Like, it's the CEO who says, what do you mean you blocked my email? Like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
You know?
Is there a solution to this? Is it just more education, or is it a cultural shift, or what's going to
Think it's a number of things. Education is certainly a part of it. Technology will always be a part of it. We're going to and are automating more and more aspects of cybersecurity, and that will engender in the IoT space as well. However, you know, as it's been in regular security of phones and laptops, it takes time. So we'll always be running probably a little bit behind.
I mean, it seems like phones have to do it, therefore they do it. Right.
Well, you know, phones is a great example. I mean, I would venture to say that all three of us probably keep our phones updated. And one of the things that we do when we do those software updates is update the security.
Yep.
So
there
is hope, right? Like most of us don't walk around for weeks at a time without patching our phones. And that's essentially what we're doing.
Yeah.
So if we could sort of transition that into updating our automobiles and updating our appliances.
But who here has a smart TV and has done an update recently? I know I haven't.
Exactly.
It's just out of sight.
I have, and it's actually a big pain in the ass.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as a phone, believe me.
No,
yeah,
but
exactly.
But I think, you know, the TV one is an interesting one because TV models change so often.
So
often. You know, it's like you don't end up, you don't really think of it as a vulnerability, but I bet you think of your car as a vulnerability because you drive it every day and you're like, I just know intuitively, like, I don't want this thing to drive off the road.
Yeah.
Well, I know my son is in some kind of game room somewhere that, you know, doing something, right? And it's all connected
to
the TV set.
Well, his gaming device is for sure connected to the internet.
Yeah.
For sure should be patched.
What's the next big thing you see is a major threat?
I think the thing that most people are concerned about is a attack on our critical infrastructure, specifically power.
That's what I think.
I think that we all now have seen enough movies and
heed
it's in the popular culture, and we know that it can be done. So it's not like we need another thing to worry about, but that is a big issue.
Who was our guest who was talking about, I can take this out, this out, and this out, but all I have to do really is turn off the switch, and it's all off.
Yep.
Yeah. Right? I mean, that's the
thing. And the thing is there's 17 categories of critical infrastructure, but power is sort of like the mother of all critical infrastructure. Because when you take out power, you take out banking and, you know,
everything.
Water and many of the things. And
I interviewed Cisco, their guy that runs that for them, and I felt better coming out of that. No, really, they do some interesting things in that market. Is there's still a lot of old manual things
out there.
Interesting, which make them a little safer in one way.
There's plenty of things that are open there. The interesting thing is many of our key adversaries actually I don't think are interested in affecting our critical infrastructure.
You don't think they are?
I would say, for example, China may want to have the ability to have an impact on our critical infrastructure, but they want our economy to run.
No, that's a good point.
Radical jihadist organization may have a different motivation. Yeah. They may want to make us suffer in some way.
Well, then we can't put them on TV.
No, can't do that.
And they want the TV, so that's an interesting theory.
Yeah, so that's my sense, is that we do have adversaries that want certain things like our secrets and our business plans. And, and then there's but they want us to run, you know, and they want to slowly like adopt that, you know, and maybe reproduce it. And then there's folks that maybe are a little more malicious.
Yeah. Great. Website once again?
www.cybertechnetwork.org is the nonprofit, and cyberunited.com is the commercial business.
Great. Thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio. Interesting conversation. Thanks a lot.
Great to talk to you.
Thank you
very much.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Okay.